The lesson this week comes from the book of John, chapter 6. If you want to go ahead and turn there. The title of the lesson is The Bread of Life, from John chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. We'll talk a little bit about bread. Bread is said to be the most widely eaten food in all the world and has been a staple in the diet of most people all the way back to ancient days. Personally, I like bread. Homemade bread, fresh from the oven, still warm enough to make butter, melt butter, is just so good. However, several years ago, I learned that bread or carbohydrates in general is bad for my triglycerides. Triglycerides and cholesterol are part of the same family. My cholesterol is great. My triglycerides are terrible. And bread with sugar on it is especially bad for me, like donuts, sticky buns, cinnamon rolls, fried pies, pancakes with syrup. So I have to watch that stuff just to keep my triglycerides at a reasonable level. They never have checked good. But, you know, they used to not worry about triglycerides. It was in the 1990s that they all of a sudden decided that they was just as bad as cholesterol. Before that, they didn't worry about it. Anyway, I have to watch the bread that I eat. I can pass on the sugary foods and drinks pretty easily. The ice cream and the donuts and that sort of stuff. But I sure do miss bread. That's tough. The bread of life that our lesson speaks of tonight is not physical bread, but spiritual. Well, that's what we will be discussing. The Bible has a lot to say about bread. You can read a lot about bread in the Bible. I want to bring up a couple of instances. One is in 1 Kings concerning Isaiah. He had been directed to go to live with a widow and her son for a while. And when he met her, he asked for some bread, and she says she can't do that. She only had a little flour in the keg and a little oil in the cruse. She was going to go in the house and mix it up and make bread, and her and her son were going to eat it and then die because they didn't have anything after that. And Isaiah told her, go ahead and make it up. We'll eat it. And he stayed with her for quite some time, and every day there was enough flour and enough oil to make the daily bread. So that in itself was a miracle. And she would use all the flour and all the oil to make bread, and the next day there'd be more there. The other example I want to use is from Matthew 4:4. Was when Jesus had been led to the wilderness to the desert by the Holy Spirit, that he fasted for 40 days, and after that he was hungry. And Satan tempted him, said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread, then you can eat. You remember what Jesus told him? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that come out of the mouth of God. And Jesus told him that that was written, and that was in Deuteronomy chapter 8. What do you mean by man should live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God? You can't eat words. I think he just meant that we should obey God and live according to his will. Do what he tells us to do, and he'll take care of us. And before we get into our lesson text, there's three scriptures I want to call your attention to. They're found in John chapter 6 also. The first one is verse 59. John chapter 6, verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. I want you to keep in mind as we go through our lesson tonight that he is teaching in the synagogue. He is not out on a hillside somewhere, or in a boat out on the water, as he was prone to do. This time he was in a synagogue. He was treated pretty well in Capernaum, but he wasn't treated very well in some of the other cities like Nazareth and Bethsaida. But in Capernaum, they treated him pretty well, and he was teaching there where all of the officials could hear, as well as the other people. The second scripture I want to read to you is chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Well, Jesus made it perfectly clear that he was speaking about spiritual things, not physical things. And that's important that you keep that in mind while we read this lesson. The third verse is chapter 67, chapter 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? I just want you to see from this that all 12 of his apostles had been called and were with him there in the synagogue at Capernaum. At some point, we were reading where he had like four or five apostles, and at some point he called the rest of them, and at this point in time, about 29 A.D., he has all 12 of them there. Let's read our verse lesson text. It's going to begin in verse 22, chapter 6 of John, verse 22. And we're going to read through verse 40. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Verse 23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God sealed. Then he said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Oh, that is our lesson text. We'll go back and look at these verses one at a time. And this passage of Scripture is referred to as a great discourse on the bread of life, or the sermon on the bread of life. Let's take a closer look at verse 22. The day following, when the people had withstood on the other side of the sea, saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. So the day after would be the following day after he fed the 5,000. I want you to consider that 5,000 for a minute. The population of Capernaum was about 1,500. This place where he fed the 5,000 was just a short distance from Bethsaida, but there was less than 300 people there. So where did the 5,000 come from? I'd like for you to look back at verse 4. And it says, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So we see that the Passover was coming up, and the Jews traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. So it appears that a lot of these people numbered in this 5,000 was travelers that were going to Jerusalem, because there's just not that much population base around the Sea of Galilee. And the Jews, of course, had been scattered, and they were coming from all over. And they had probably heard something about Jesus, and they stopped off here at Capernaum to see if they could find him and see what was going on with him. So that's where the large group of people came from, was from the travelers. They were looking for Jesus, but they did not find him anywhere. They couldn't understand how he got away. Verse 23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. In my Bible, that whole verse is in parentheses. That means it's informational. It gives us some information. It says these boats came from Tiberias. And what we know about Tiberias is that it is a Gentile city. It was built by Herod Antipas and named after the emperor Tiberius. It was built during Jesus' lifetime, and the population grew rather fast. It had a population of around 5,000 people during this time period, around AD 29. Tiberias was located on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, a few miles south of Capernaum. I want to say a little bit about that. Capernaum and Bethsaida being on different sides of the lake. Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles across. But both of these cities are located on the upper end of the lake, where the lake came into the mouth of the Jordan River. The Jordan River fed it, and it flowed down from the north. And where the lake started, Capernaum was on the west, and Bethsaida was on the east of the Jordan River. So they were on different sides of the lake because of the division, but they were really only a few miles apart, like 5 miles by water and 8 miles by land. So it's not like they had the whole span of the lake to cross to get from one to the other. But these boats from Tiberias, they were probably Gentile merchants that heard that this large crowd was over on the other side of the lake. They loaded these boats with provisions and goods to sell to these people, food and what have you, that they thought they might make some money on from this crowd. And that's what they had brought over here. But when they got there, they couldn't find Jesus, and the crowd was dispersing, and I don't know how many boats they were, but as many of them as many people that was in this crowd as could got into these boats, and I guess they hired these guys to take them over to Capernaum so they didn't have to walk around the north end of the lake. So So they did find passage back to Capernaum, at least some of them did. In verse 25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? They wanted him to explain how he got there. They were curious about that. They knew he didn't get in that boat the night before. That boat didn't leave till after dark. It had the 12 apostles in it. And from last week's lesson, we know that they encountered a storm, and Jesus came walking to them on the water and calmed the sea, and they immediately were at their destination. So they knew that Jesus wasn't in that boat, but they didn't know where he was. But he had gone for some quiet time out in the mountain, and then he appeared out on the sea walking when those guys were in trouble in the storm. Verse 26, Jesus answered him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did it, eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus didn't answer the question. They asked him how he got there. He didn't answer that question. But he perceived what they wanted. They wanted another meal. They're looking for breakfast, I guess, when they woke up. And he knew the real reason that they were there. I want you to look back at verses 14 and 15 of this same chapter. Now, this is the crowd after the feeding of the 5,000. It says, Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Well, that's why they couldn't find him. He went out by himself. He did not want to be their king. It wasn't yet his time. And he didn't want to be forced into that position, so he just left the area so they couldn't find him. But now they found him the next day over in Capernaum. Now, I'm sure these people were familiar with the law and the scriptures and the prophets, and they were looking for a Messiah to come. They didn't know when. This guy didn't fit their description of the Messiah. They were looking for somebody to relieve them of their oppression from the Romans. And they were also looking for somebody to set up a social system that would provide for their welfare, food and housing and all that stuff, that they didn't have to work for, didn't have to pay for, or whatever. And I can understand a lot of that because of the prophecy of the kingdom to come, the millennial reign. Now, that's about what that sounds like. So that's what they were expecting the Messiah to bring in. That's not what Jesus came for. Their understanding of the Messiah was misdirected. Verse 27, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Well, Jesus told them that their motives were wrong. They sought material satisfaction when what they really needed was true spiritual food. They were chasing after physical bread when what they really needed was the eternal bread that was Jesus himself. Physical food might sustain them for another day, but eternal life would allow them to live forever. It was Jesus to give because he had his Father's full approval of his mission. Well, Jesus had the power to give them eternal life if they would just believe. Verses 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. God has given his seal of approval to Jesus and his mission. They asked what works they could do that would gain them God's approval. They had misunderstood what Jesus had said. He was able to give them eternal life, and there was nothing in his statement that indicated they needed to work for it. Their question implies that whatever God might require of them, they would do it to earn his favor. Jesus explained that the work of God was genuine trust in the one that he had sent, referring to himself. Salvation has never required works, and it still does not. Salvation is a matter of believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In Acts 16:31, Paul said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Everyone in his family who believed in Christ would be saved, and that is the only requirement for us today as well. We cannot live a kind of life that will get us into heaven without the power of the Holy Spirit. And he comes to us only through genuine faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now verses 30 and 31. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." These people had heard Jesus practically claimed to be the Messiah and are asking for another sign that they might believe. They reminded him of the miracle of the manna that Moses did in the wilderness for their forefathers, and that is that Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. They seem to be implying that his feeding of the 5,000, and that's 5,000 men, counting women and children, that's probably 15,000 to 20,000 people. But they were implying that his feeding of the 5,000 was nothing compared to Moses feeding 2 to 3 million people every day with the manna. So in their estimation, he needed to do something much bigger than they had seen. Verse 32 through 34, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus made sure they understood that it was God that gave the manna, not Moses. Although it came from heaven, it was for physical sustenance, and it was not spiritual, not for everlasting life that he is talking about in his sermon here. He is the bread of God that came down from heaven to give life to the world. The difference was that physical bread provided only for physical life. Jesus let them know that they were wrong to think that any human could provide their necessary bread. What was now needed was provision for spiritual life, and God was now making provision for that life. Jesus had now set the stage for revealing that he is the true bread sent from heaven. The people were now eager to have that kind of bread he had just described. In verse 34, they asked Jesus to give them this bread. Now let's look at verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." In verse 35, Jesus is saying that the bread and the water, what bread and water are to our bodies, he is to the soul. He is able to satisfy every need pertaining to God and holiness. We must understand that Jesus is offering spiritual fulfillment. He was not promising that a believer would never suffer the disappointments and trials of this earthly life. It is only through a right relationship with Him that we can find the help we need to overcome the difficulties of this life. In verse 36, He says, I said unto you, this implies that He has told him this previously. He may have been referring to something He had said, or it may have been referring to something that is not recorded. We don't know that for sure. But He had already told them previously, and they had seen Him, and they believed not. In verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, those that the Father gives to Christ are those that actually come. The Father foresees that men will come as a result of His foreknowledge. The Father foresees that men will come as a result of His foreknowledge gives them to Christ. All men that the Father sends will be accepted by Christ. Those that were standing before Jesus that day heard what He was saying, but they were not responding to Him. This reminds me of the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Now, this seems to be sort of pretty well self-explanatory. Jesus' mission on earth is to do the will of the one that sent Him. In verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. In this verse, we see the security of the believer. The will of the Father is that Jesus will keep those that have been sent to Him and raise them up the last day. Believers will die an earthly death, but that will be followed by a glorious resurrection, the resurrection of the righteous. In verse 40, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And verse 40 ends our lesson text this evening, but the discourse on the bread of life is not finished, so we'll go a little farther, but next week's lesson picks up with that also, so we're not going to do too much more, but let's read verses 41 through 50. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Speaking of eternal life there. Well, back in verse 41, it says the Jews murmured because they said, He said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Verse 42, He said, they say, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Well, if you look at it from their point of view, they see Jesus and they know who He was. They knew He grew up in Nazareth. They knew His father and His mother. And He's claiming to have come from heaven. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense if He was born of a woman and was raised in as a normal child, and has lived on earth among the people, how is it that he could come down from heaven? So I can see their point of view there. I don't know that the prophets, when was in the Old Testament, when speaking of the Messiah, I don't know if they ever said that he would come from amongst the people. They may have been looking for him to ride in on a white horse and run the Romans out of town, you know, kind of like Lone Ranger or somebody. But you know, that wasn't why he was coming. He was sent to the Jews to save them from their sin. That's pretty well what I have prepared for this evening. I do have some closing comments to make. The first is that unaided by the Spirit, human reason cannot discern spiritual truth. The Jews believed that study of the Scripture and doing works of the law were sufficient for spiritual understanding. But it wasn't. You have to know Jesus. The Bible tells us that the non-believers cannot understand the Scriptures. You have to be a believer to understand the Scriptures. The second comment is that when the people who came seeking Jesus were looking for bread, he offered himself as the bread of life. His concern was for their spiritual condition rather than their momentary hunger. Jesus has the same concern for every one of us. He has offered himself once for all as the one who gives abundant eternal life to those who believe. A third comment on this is that John encourages believers to focus on the eternal over the temporal. We must never attempt to serve God in our own strength, but rather seek our spiritual nourishment from Jesus alone. As a conclusion, I would like to say that it seems that Jesus used the miracle of feeding the 5,000 as a setting to have a plain talk with the people about his true mission in the world, and that he was the salvation of men's souls as long as he fed their bodies. They thought he was great, but when he started talking about eternal salvation, they started drifting away. Next week, let's continue our study on that discourse of the bread of life. Any comments, questions? Now let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together and study from your word, and pray, Lord, your blessings on us, that we would receive that word and that we use it to your glory. Lord, we just thank you for your Son who died for our sins. And Lord, we just pray for you to keep us mindful of the needs of others and forgive us where we failed you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.